It's 8:30, so I'll gavel us in. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 19th, 2021 Washington County Board of Commissioners work session. This is Chair Catherine Harrington, and with us this morning from the Commission, we have Commissioner Roy Rogers, Commissioner Jerry Willey, and Commissioner Pam Treese. Hopefully, Commissioner Nafisa Fai will be joining us shortly. The first item on the agenda is board and leadership communication. Who would like to go first? Anyone? Go ahead, Commissioner Treese.
I can go. Last week was the second week of the month. It's always a very busy week for me with morning meetings and evening meetings, but it was a good one. We had our Public Health Advisory Committee meeting on Tuesday night, and the focus there was on the COVID vaccine protocols, which, as we know, have changed within the last few days. So it's my empathy. I have a great deal of empathy for Marnie and how she is and her team are quick to pivot on all of the changes that we see during this rollout period. Then the PAB meeting was on Thursday night, and that meeting focused on our new allocation on January 28th. We're going to be reviewing all of the applications and going through the regular process there. There was also a very heartfelt send-off to Val Valfrey for his service on the PAB, and Tricia worked hard to get all of the PAB members individual bundt cakes and a candy bar on a piece of paper so that it read a story to Val. Mine was Butterfinger, and it was like we had a payday, we had the Butterfinger, we had all sorts of different things. It was very cute, so and very heartfelt send off to Val. I also had a meeting with constituents regarding the curves on Thompson Road. I'm going to be getting a briefing on that from Stephen and his team in the next couple weeks. So that's kind of an update of what happened last week, as well as working on the draft that we're going to be reviewing this morning.
So multiple commissioners did receive constituent communications on that topic. So we should make sure that the staff briefing or at least summary of that goes to all commissioners.
And you're talking about the Commissioner Shull from Clackamas?
No, I'm talking about the Thompson Road curves. Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Rogers, did you have something?
Sure. The only thing, first of all, I would say congratulations to Commissioner Willey on the sending us that video and the work he's doing on the trail. I felt a little bit, Jerry, like I was stepping back about 100 years. That was really cool. It did. It just felt like it was something that you would have seen at the turn of the century. So that was really cool. Pam and I had a meeting last Friday morning with the work systems folks in regard to our quarterly meeting. It was always interesting to hear what's happening in the employment area in our region. Beyond that, I don't think I have a lot to report. Lots of constituent messages like everyone else.
Commissioner Willey?
Yeah, thank you for that, Roy. That Salmonberry video was really nice presentation done by the Oregonian, and we're going to use that a lot, I think, for certainly for fundraising and for grants. And speaking of that, we have been asked to send letters of endorsement, I guess, to what is it, three or four? Stephen will update us, I'm sure, on how many letters of support for grant proposals from these trails, but Salmonberry certainly is one of them. I believe it's the only one that is actually a rural trail. The rest of them are urban trails, but we're hopeful that we can at least get some allocation of that funding to start that process a little bit, or take that process a little further. So So yeah, that was a great video. Yes, I've been receiving other constituent emails. I was spent a good part of the weekend trying to catch up with those because we get a little bit behind sometimes. But other than that, it's just kind of business as usual. So busy week this week.
Thank you, Commissioner Willie. Commissioner Fai, is there anything you'd like to contribute in board communication?
Been a busy last week for me. Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, commissioners and everyone else. It's been a busy week getting briefing last week. So I had a lot of department specific meetings and briefings and have been bugging Ellen a lot with a lot of questions. I also attended the OHA commissioners meeting weekly call and asked a question around, I've had also outside Washington County, other jurisdictions, elected officials, mayors, and one of the question or the concern they raised that I also asked at that weekly call that we didn't get a time to answer, and I'll follow up with Patrick, is that, you know, there are a lot of elected officials within Washington County, some, not a lot, but some who face disgruntled voters who want to get up to the elected officials' face, and also there are some, electeds I learned that actually go into the office. So one of the questions I raised was around, is there a conversation to be had or to be have, whatever, around vaccinating or prioritizing certain elected officials to get the vaccines? Because right now in Oregon, there isn't a conversation around vaccinating elected officials. And I think there is a conversation to be had. And so that was one of the questions I raised. And I also raised another question that I can't remember, but I'll share. I think I took a screenshot and I'll share with everyone. But I think when we have conversations with OHA and the governor's office around vaccinations, I think we should, all of us should raise that question to protect other electeds who are facing that kind of situation. Because one of the concerns was a disgruntled voter was talking to the elected official, was waiting outside the office and wasn't wearing a face mask. So it's a concern, and I think we should all push for that.
I think the meeting that you were was the weekly AOC meeting on Fridays.
Is that the one I raised? Yeah.
Yes. So that meeting has tended to focus on two different crises aspects. One is the wildfires, and the other is the COVID public health crisis. And so there's always someone from OHA speaking to various updates and so forth. So as the AOC staff mentioned, they had collected multiple questions that did not have the opportunity for airtime in that meeting. And so they said that they were planning on following up with the Q&A email on that, on the various questions. So all commissioners have the opportunity to be on that mail list as well as attend that meeting. So, So welcome in week three for you. So we can all relate, or at least the three of us who were new in 2019, we can relate to there's a lot of work to get work systems in place as well as get briefings on all the various topics that are active on our calendar right now. So you're doing great. Doing great. Anything else, Commissioner Fai?
Yes, Madam Chair, I found the question I asked was, and this is a question I got, it's really not my question that some of the constituents asked me, and I was around, you know, to track folks who got both of the vaccinations, and if they get the COVID again. So when we're doing testing, are we tracking people who got one or the other vaccine, or one of the two doses or both? And are we tracking to make sure, you know, people are not getting the, they're not testing positive? And it sounds like, no, they're not tracking that particular piece right now. They're just doing normal testing if you go in for testing. So there's no question, have you gotten vaccinated?
All right. Thank you. I just have a couple of things. The roundtable in April, we usually change the date for that so that it better accommodates Commissioner Rogers' work pressures with the Q1 business tax filing as well as the annual tax year. There are several pertinent topics for that. So I've asked staff to work with your calendars to see if we could find a time the week of April 19th. That Thursday would be April 22nd. And then for May, we usually cancel the May roundtable because by then we have two proposed budgets to go through, and it seems like an opportunity to best maximize our time. So just wanted to give you a heads up, a look ahead for that. So yes, last week was a bit of a strange week as we first got news in the middle of the week that hopeful news for additional vaccine supply, only to have a quick whiplash experience on that. So, but I had a special chair mayor's meeting set up on that first vaccination status and then quickly reverted for that. So, whew, it was a lot. We will have the regular monthly chair mayor's meeting next week. And lastly, I just wanted to give a heads up to you that on the JPACT agenda for meeting this week is information on TriMet safety plan. I know I had received a briefing on that previously. I just wanted to call your attention to that, should you be interested in knowing how they're making some improvements and changes. And lastly, I assume that for checking in on the letters from LUT, that that will come under leadership communication with Ms. Angie. So, okay, that's it for me. Why don't we switch on over to leadership communication? Ms. Angie.
Sorry, it's Tuesday morning and I can't find my toggle, which it seems I'm challenged by many times. So good morning, Chair and board members. So I did want to provide you a vaccination update, but I want to indicate my comments are going to be limited to the workforce. Marnie, Kyle, and Tricia Mortel are on your formal agenda. And so I would ask general vaccination questions be held until that time, because they really are the subject matter experts in this space. So from a workforce perspective, we currently have five positive cases within the workforce and eight close contact quarantine. So I do want to reference my update last week that this number is slightly lower than the week before. So that is great news. Throughout the weekend, our staff team worked in partnership with TVFNR, Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, to focus on vaccinations for our 1A employee base. We are hopeful that we will complete those vaccinations by the end of the business day today. So that is great news from a workforce standpoint. So are there any questions on that? Chair, I believe your double mute is on.
Thank you. I should probably mention to my colleagues that OHA has asked each county that if we want to, when we get to the point of completion for phase 1A, those four groups that are defined for phase 1A, that we go through a certification process, just an acknowledgement process before moving on to 1B. So staff will be helping me get that completed for my signature before we submit that, but we're not quite there yet. There's still some more work to do, particularly with supply, to get through the four groups of phase 1A. Thank you.
Yes, and then in response to the grant letters, I would ask that Kevin Moss promote Stephen Roberts so that he can speak to that. Thank you, Kevin.
You are welcome.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the board, I have a sort of decision point. Oh.
Just wait, Alan. Kevin's promoting Stephen, so Stephen can provide an update on the trail grant letters.
Stephen? I'm sorry, I thought that was for the regular meeting.
Nope. Morning. So I did want to just give you just a brief heads up that we did send those letters, or I sent those letters to you late Friday. And really just wanted to ask if there were any questions or concerns about the letters. Otherwise, we would look for an endorsement and we'll get those in the mail.
Commissioners, did you have any questions on those three letters? They're pretty much standard saying, yes, these are great trail ideas and please consider them for your grants. So it looks like we're all approved for signature and sending them off.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you all.
Anything else, Ms. Angie?
Nothing else today. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Go ahead, Alan. Mr. Rapplier.
Okay. Well, thank you. So I got an email from the Metro Council last Friday afternoon that sort of requires a decision from the board. So last May of 2020, as you know, Metro put out the supportive housing bond that imposed a business and personal income tax of up to $250 million. And just in December 17th, Metro adopted an ordinance that implemented that income tax and business tax. And just last week, they filed what's called a validation measure of that ordinance. And that's an action where a local government can file their own lawsuit in front of a circuit court judge and to have their ordinance declared lawful. The Metro is concerned that they were gonna get a lawsuit on that anyway, so they took preemptive action and filed their lawsuit. So last Friday, the Metro Council has asked our county and Multnomah and Clackamas County to join them in that lawsuit. And the deadline for joining that lawsuit is January 27th. So that's the day after our next meeting. So we do have time to talk about that at that point, and I could bring it back on the 26th in executive session and chat with you about that. Yes, Madam Chair.
What is your legal opinion about this request and your recommendation to the board? Is that something you still need to develop and bring back to us on the 26th?
I think I still need to develop it. I'd like to chat with my fellow county councils and Multnomah and Clackamas County, see what they're doing. I looked through the action that Metro filed. It looks good. And there are some little discrepancies, but I think it under the broad home rule power, it should be upheld. And I think they will be ably represented, but I would like to chat and then, but I'm okay if you want to make a decision now and then jump in or not jump in, or we can bring it back next Tuesday. Apparently there's a little time on your work session next Tuesday.
Well, I would for one, prefer to have be informed by your legal opinion before forming my own thoughts on that. So per our rules and procedures and our charter, you have just as much right to put an item on the work session and the board agenda as the rest of us do. So if you can work with Ms. Angie to get that on, get some time on our work session agenda to take us through an appropriate executive session on litigation, whatever notice is needed in advance of our business meeting, and then whatever action we need to take for our business meeting would be great.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you. That's it.
Commissioners, do you have any other questions or comments for Mr. Rapelier on this topic?
I do. Yeah. What would be helpful is I don't fully understand the legal arguments that are being made. So hopefully it'll be parsed out so that we can understand what's the challenge, why the challenge, what's the legal status, all that sort of thing.
Certainly, I'll prepare something, and I'll go ahead and send out the email I got that has the legal filing, and you can look through that, and I'll provide some information on that as well.
Thank you. Diane Taniguchi-Dennis, Clean Water Services CEO.
Good morning, Chair Harrington, and good morning to the board. I have two items. The first one is just good news on the COVID front. We continue to have no new reports of COVID cases or exposures, and the full team is in service. So the team's very proud that they've been able to do this, and they're continuing to stay focused and with their measures. So that's great news. The board did have a privy council on the Cedar Mill Creek project. Mark Jockers is going to be promoted into the meeting so that he can provide any follow-up information that the board may need. It's a significant project that will begin this week at the Twalton Hills Nature Park. So I want to make sure that the board has its full information it needs, and the team's ready to continue to meet the needs of the constituents. So, Mark, did you want to add anything?
Yes, thank you, Diane. Chair Harrington, members of the board, just wanted to draw your attention to the Privy Council that we sent Friday morning. This is a pretty significant project. It's similar to the Twalton Interceptor project in the sense that it's part of the construction, the replacement of large lines that were built 40 or 50 years ago. I would draw a parallel to this that it's similar to rebuilding I-5, right? So these are huge interceptors that are our main pieces that collect things. This is a $15 million project. It's going to have a pretty significant impact on the nature park. We've been working very closely with THPRD over the last year to help to determine how to do this work, both in terms of the temporary impact on the park, but what sort of improvements can we bring to the nature park itself when the project's done. We start cutting trees today, the arborists who are working for us, that will go on for about 2 months. And then the actual construction will begin this summer and continue into the summer of 2022. So that's, I just wanted to bring your attention to that. If you had any questions, certainly you can contact me.
Commissioners, any questions? Nope. It's funny, I had a question from Mark over email on this project, and afterwards, I was just wondering about signage, given that there will likely be detours of trails. And it's pretty funny because I reminded myself, I've already been to the park recently and seen some of the early project signage. And it was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And therefore was completely out of my mind. So but I think once there are some trail detours and closures, that's when we could possibly get some more questions or interest. As we've all seen during COVID, a lot more people are walking and taking full advantage of all the parks and the trail system throughout our area, which is wonderful. I hope it keeps up post-pandemic. No detours yet. Thank you very much. Anything else, Diane?
No, thank you, Chair.
All righty. Great. Well, moving on then to formal agenda discussion, there are some various updates to our board meeting this afternoon, or later this morning, I should say. We will be getting a presentation on COVID from our team, given some changes in news, questions we're getting about vaccination availability and so forth. So that'll be good. One item was pulled from the agenda. And then there are just a couple of revisions and updates to the consent agenda. Are there any other questions with regard to the agenda for later this morning? Go ahead, Commissioner Rogers.
Sorry, I had to get off mute. In item 2N, on the telecommuting, on the authority, appointing authority, how, and this really gets down into the weeds, but Sonia, how does that really work? It says that the reporting authority is anybody who is assigned staff, but I would suspect that you're not getting too far below the department head, are you? I guess I'm just curious how that would work.
That's a good question, Commissioner Rogers. The structure is set up so that as the departments and different business lines across the county system need to make different work decisions. So it really is up to the department director working with their leadership team and supervisors.
And if I just follow up, are you literally saying the department head, you don't allocate that responsibility to people who might be a few removed but have a smaller work group to themselves?
It's an and. The department director is ultimately responsible for the reporting into me, the operations of their department. So they work directly with the supervisors on that structure. It's an and.
Thank you. And I'll just add one comment, not a question, but we all in business are struggling with how to monitor that and how to measure accomplishments and whether or not there's performance. So I suspect that as you implement that, you're going to have some performance criteria so that people are being judged on how much they produce, not just simply on where they work. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I will say we've also had reflection and learning through COVID because some of our employees who are telecommuting are also having to manage virtual learning at home, including myself and my kids. So that monitoring performance and how we work is an evolving conversation, as you indicate, Commissioner Rogers, across the country and world right now. So we are in a learning space and it is a balance.
All right, any other questions for today's agenda for the business meeting? Nope. All right, seeing none, then we'll move on to the next item on our work session agenda, discussion about Clackamas County Commissioner Mark Schell from Commissioner Pam Treese. The floor is yours, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Your assigning this or moving me over to me. For a little background information, I think that when we learned about Commissioner Schell's comments and on social media, there was quite a response and last week from elected leaders around the region. I did a lot of thinking about this. I've talked with others about this, and I felt that it was very important for us to make a statement. So given that background, I want to kind of explain what the work was that went into creating that document. So I worked with both Letitia Tillman and with Julie McLeod. Philip was had taken a few well-deserved days off last week, and Julie worked with the two of us to, along with some input from Tanya, to craft a document. Now, what I want to tell you is that the document is guided primarily by our resolution, our equity resolution that we put into place last year. And it's really the adherence to what our commitment was through that resolution. So I, like I said, I'm going to step you through some of the thought processes and then we can look at the document. It also recognizes the trauma for Washington County members of the Muslim community, members of the Black community, and our immigrant community, that those types of comments can make coming from an elected leader in the region, even though that elected leader is not necessarily part of Washington County directly. The last thing I want to point out is that after a lot of discussion, the action that that the document puts forward is to support the Clackamas County Commission in their statement of censure and request for resignation. So the difference to me is that we were very thoughtful in looking at this and making sure that we were adhering to our equity resolution. We recognize the trauma that it creates for members of our community. And lastly, the action wasn't just requesting his resignation from our commission, but supporting what the Clackamas County Commission had put into place. So with that, I don't know that we need to bring Letitia onto this platform. Tanya, would you like to comment further?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Trees. This is really a board statement, not a staff statement. So I do want to indicate that we have been working in service of Commissioner Treese's request and compiling the information. Within the county, we are using the equity resolution from a county operation standpoint as a core guidepost moving forward. So I think that's where I would leave my comment.
Thank you. And what I'm requesting today is that we all sign on to this this message. We did get communication from Commissioner Rogers. I wanted to be clear in my statements this morning in addressing some of Commissioner Rogers' issues, that it, again, guided by our equity resolution and in support of the Clackamas County action. So are there discussion points here? I think, Chair, you're on double mute.
Yes, I am. Thank you. This is great. Commissioner Treese, thank you for bringing this forward. Commissioners, any questions or comments? Commissioner Rogers?
Sure, I can do that. Well, I certainly understand the resolution. I certainly understand us reiterating our positions in regard to our equity resolutions. I'm troubled by the wording, not so much the content, but by singling out anyone by name. It was about a month ago where we said goodbye to a commissioner, memorialized Commissioner Scouten for all of his good work. And that was appropriate in resolutions, I think, in our county should be regarding our citizens and not necessarily someone else's. So I find it, I understand, you know, the concern. I understand the issues. I certainly agree with the content of saying that this isn't the way we operate in Washington County. I certainly understand that the comments were inappropriate. I understand that this is not what we want to foster, but I would be much more comfortable having a more positive approach. I think it was Mr. Sedd who sent us a note saying, let's lead with, and I'm paraphrasing, let's lead with how we address and communicate and not necessarily calling on others to do certain actions. So I take no issue again with the indignation, with the concerns. It was inappropriate. I think that the other county, and I'm not even going to mention counties or names, but the other county is taking a position to do certain things. I certainly support their position, so that's not an issue either. But I would be much more comfortable with a resolution that stripped it of names, reaffirming our position, our values, our goals, what we believe in, and not try in any way to cut off dialogue, because when you do that, people certainly, they don't change their minds. They simply take and just don't say them out loud. And that's not good. I'd rather confront these kind of silly stuff and call it out ourselves, other than trying to face this issue with comments that are really pretty negative. So I applaud Commissioner Treece for bringing it up. I applaud her for saying, don't we still believe? Absolutely, we believe every word we said. I don't like it focused the way it is. I'm not comfortable signing on as just one individual. I'll just stop there.
Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner Willie.
Yeah, well, I want to echo one of Roy's comments, which is thank you, Commissioner Treece, for taking this project on. And certainly, I think it's a well-written letter. I also firmly believe that we need to make a statement. We need to go public with that this is inappropriate behavior. And we need to do everything that we can to send a strong message that we are in support of our diversity and equity resolution. And so whatever that would entail, I'm not sure I have an opinion on whether or not we should call out Commissioner Scholes by name. I could go either way on that, but I certainly think this is an appropriate letter, and we should do whatever it is we can to sign on a letter of support.
Commissioner Fye?
Yes, Madam Chair. I am in support of this letter, obviously. And Washington County has no room, or no, it's not a place where we tolerate racism, you know, xenophobia, transphobia, any of them, you know, homophobia, afraid of immigrants, you know, just continuing, you know, this perpetuation of, you know, there's the dominant or there's superior and inferior class of people. I, you know, like the idea of calling Mark Scholes out, because the idea here is that, like both commissioners before me said, you know, the idea is Washington County has an equity resolution. We do not tolerate bigotry, racism, anything that would harm certain people or discriminate certain people. And then how we actualize that idea is calling out when somebody is wrong or fears away from those ideas. So if somebody is not following the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of Oregon or any of our charter, we call out. We do not take the easy way out and say, let's put out a statement and not call anybody out. That's not how accountability works. And that's not how we make America the best country it's possible and where America, it's not how America got where it is today. You know, strong leadership is when it's needed. And today it's that time. You know, I'll quote Martin Luther King since MLK was yesterday. You know, it's important that strong leaders recognize that the time is always right to do what's right. And what's right now is to call out Mark Shultz in name, just like other leaders are doing. There's no reason to say, you know, let's put out a statement with no accountability. If Nafisa did that, I name myself, or anybody did that, you know, we'll be calling out names. And let's be honest, I would have already resigned because of the pressure that would have been coming forward. So I really think, you know, I will make a one comment. Commissioner Rogers said these silly comments or silly stuff, to quote silly stuff. I think this is about life and death, and it's not silly. If comments like that could take my safety away from me, could lead to death, to destruction to somebody's life, it's not silly, and we need to be serious. That's what people elected us to do, is to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. We are in a position of leadership, and Mark Shultz is in a powerful position. He is a white man already in elected officials. And if he continues, that will bring more harm to so many people that we don't know. And I would consider all of you to really be brave and stand strong. This is about your legacy as well. There may never be another chance where we have somebody who's blatantly racist, yet we want to continue the status quo because it benefits us. But the status quo of continuing racism does not benefit me. It actually brings danger to my doorsteps. Marshall attacked me, basically, not in name, but everything that I stand for. Black woman, Muslim. So I really appreciate everybody's comment, and I really encourage everyone to draw the line and say, we're not gonna allow racism and we're not gonna tolerate this. And you know, to be honest, calling him out, whether we call him out in name or not, is not gonna change, like you said, Roy Rogers, because this is his belief. And do we actually want somebody who actually believes that certain people should die in mass amount of, you know, in numbers, should be in charge of people who are low income, who come from different ethnic backgrounds, who are immigrants? This country was made by immigrants, as we all know and believe. So it's not gonna change. And he may not resign and end up being recalled, but we'll be known as the county commissioners who stood together in times of hardship. And this is the test, you know, to our leadership, because every leaders are coming forward, you know, the board of Clackamas County unanimously. And this is, I don't think this is a sort of resolution. I think it's just a statement as us that we are united when it comes to hate and bigotry. And that, you know, imagine, would you like somebody to come to my doorstep and hurt me? I don't think any of you do. But these comments, that's what they lead to. They lead to death and destruction. So we really need to be careful and stand strong together and call out Mark Shultz in name. Yesterday, he had an opportunity to apologize, and he was back to say the words Black Lives Matter, and he refused. So this is not a man that you want to defend and let your legacy go with it. He has a lot of social realities that he needs to reconcile. He needs to have to go in on his own healing a journey. There's no question about it. There's no way you can keep all that hate in your heart. And the election happened, It's unfortunate that didn't come out. I ran a campaign, but my campaign was pretty competitive, both races, general and the primary. But certain people don't have competitive races. And Clackamas County isn't structured like Washington County. It's an at-large, you know, races. It's not based on districts. So the wide is, you know, the reach is wide. And it's sort of everyone can vote for you. And I am sad to say that this didn't come out in the election time, but it is what it is. And we are now here. What do we do about this, right? I think that's the question we need to ask. And as your fellow commissioner who just joined this journey, I encourage you to support me. I encourage you to stand with me in this battle and to send a strong message that, you know, we're not going to tolerate. And thank you, Commissioner Treis, for taking the lead on this and putting this together. I really think it's a strong letter, and it definitely calls out where we stand and what we stand for. You know, I don't really think that it's anything different than what every elected officials has been saying. So I appreciate your efforts, Commissioner Treis, and I heard your comments. I deeply appreciate what you said, but I just want you to all be supportive of each other and just think about it. These comments aren't targeted to you. They're targeted to folks like myself, and they lead to death. Life, it's about, you know, destruction and death. So think of that.
All right. Well, I'll join my colleagues in thanking you, Commissioner Treis, for taking the lead to put this together. I also appreciate staff supporting the composition of this. I appreciate the direction of this letter. I think it's very well done, and I am proud to include my name in this statement and or letter. So at this juncture, are there any other comments? I think I heard that Commissioner Treis, Commissioner Fye, and myself are totally fine with signing on as is. So I just want to check in with Commissioner Rogers and Commissioner Willie. Commissioner Rogers.
Well, first of all, Kevin, at the end, I don't remember saying anything was silly. I just have a different approach to how you you deal with issues, and that's in terms of discussion and reaffirmation of where we're at. And no one says that any of these comments are appropriate. No one says that he shouldn't resign. No one says that he shouldn't do things correctly. I don't know the gentleman. I've never met him. I couldn't identify him if he was sitting right next to me. But I like a different measured kind of response. One firm, I'm not sure I'm there. Commissioner Nafisa, I totally support your position in being on this board. I affirmed my position in regard to diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm very comfortable with where we're at. I just have a different approach on how we handle things. So I'll leave it at that.
I'm thank assuming you, I can say something.
You're Willie.
I was laughing at you. You're fumbling with the mute button like everybody else. No, I did not mean to communicate that I would not sign on to this letter. I absolutely will sign on this letter. And if nothing else, it would be to send the strong message that Nafisa reflected in her comments. And I want to do everything we can to give her a sense of support and safety within this commission. So absolutely, I will sign on that letter.
Thank you.
Commissioner Treis, How would you feel about reading the statement during our meeting today?
I'm perfectly comfortable doing that. I would like to do that, but I would also like to ask what the protocol is in terms of, do we need to take a vote? How do we need to do that at the board meeting? I'm not certain what the next steps are. So I would defer to both Tanya and Alan about next steps. Are you comfortable with that, Chair?
Well, we don't need to take a vote. We can issue a letter. We can issue a statement anytime we want.
All right. That I just wasn't certain what the protocol might be. Yes, I would like to read the statement.
Okay, that would be great. And also, if we could ask for some staff support to get this composed into a letter format with the signature of the four of us, that would be great.
Perfect. And before we wrap up here, I just want to express my appreciation once again to my fellow commissioners for the discussion, and also to the staff for the work that went behind doing this. And it was a collaborative effort. And I did not mention Alex. Alex was also involved in those discussions. So I want to thank everybody, because I believe we did end up with the right message and the right tone. Thank you.
Can I also ask a question on protocol now, or it's not so much protocols. Is this a media release, or is it a letter to the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners, or both? Where is this letter going?
Well, I think it would be great for us to just share this as an open letter, and in that it can also go to the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners, but it's an open letter statement to everyone in our Washington County community and beyond. Great. Any other questions on that?
I have a question.
Mr. Fai?
Is there an opportunity for other elected in Washington County to sign on to our letter, for example?
Well, I think there are many different letter efforts going on right now. The folks that put together the letter from Clackamas County elected circulated that to all of the mayors for them checking in with all of their city councils. But that, just as some of you may have seen from me last week, I didn't want to sign on to a letter that talks about representing Clackamas County residents, because I don't, right? That's not what I'm elected to do. So that's where I really appreciate Commissioner Treese seizing the opportunity to put forward a letter. Generally, we tend to focus on our voice as a Board of Commissioners. At this juncture, I hope that we will get this statement out ourselves in a timely manner and let other elected officials do what they wish to do. Having worked on some sign-on letters previously, it's not without work. And, you know, I'm not recommending that we take on that work right now. There is also a petition organized from Unite Oregon that people can sign on to as well. So I think there's plenty of opportunity for elected officials to sign on, irrespective of our putting something together. This letter, this statement is within our purview as Board of Commissioners. It speaks to our having adopted an equity statement as the Board of Commissioners as well. Does that help clarify your question or address your question? Great. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Treese. We'll next move on to another added topic. This is for Commissioner Fai. She wanted to address us with regard to the staff assistant assistance to commissioner structure.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I think currently my understanding is that each two commissioners share a staff person. And I wanted to have a conversation, and my understanding is that came about, that decision for two commissioners to share was from a discussion just much like this today. So I wanted to re-engage some of that conversation. If that
so we had quite an extensive series of conversations as a board last year, because we also had to work on job descriptions as well as the budget for it. So I don't know if you've had the opportunity to look at how we talked about that through our roundtables and work sessions and the work that was put forward for that. So what we worked on was having the chair have one person and each of the two part-time commissioners having one shared resource and working out the budget for that.
Yes, and I think right now we have one staff person to be hired for me. And I just wanted to engage, like, to talk about the structure of, and this might be a moot point when we get to next year and when we get to the budget, that we could park it for then. But in the meantime, I was wanting to see how you all feel about the opportunity for me to have my own staff, this person that we're going to hire just for me. I'm a bit overwhelmed with the amount of work that's coming in and all the stuff I have to juggle. So I wanted to get, you know, sort of a temperature check on having my own staff, this potential person that we're going to hire, just be dedicated solely to District 1.
Well, I think, frankly, we are all juggling a lot of work in being commissioners. I don't think your situation is any different than what I see happening for Commissioner Treese and Commissioner Willie as well. We've certainly learned a lot about what it takes to be engaged and active in our community as well, and the amount of scheduling work that's required. I think we also need to be fair and equitable across all of the commissioners. So I don't know that we're in a position to take that step on for all of us as fair and equitable, given our where we are at in the middle of a fiscal budget year. But it's certainly something that as we move forward and talk about our budget direction with our CAO, we can certainly have those conversations about what kind of support we need.
Yeah, I hear you, Madam Chair. And I think the challenge is that right now, this position, the person that we're going to hire is for District 4, no, District 3 and 1, or is it District 2? So I think, does District 3 need, it's just, it provides a clarity on the job description to put in, like, who the commissioner, this person is going to support. And, you know, the advantage I will put out there, maybe not for Commissioner Treese, but for everyone else coming in, already had some elected officials and how to navigate political workloads. So that's what I faced. And I think to continue to serve our folks here will be really added value to have one person dedicated to each commissioner. Just wanted to get what take on.
So if I could respond, I guess, from just having 2 years with Pam and I sharing an assistant. And quite frankly, I feel like Pam's schedule is much more demanding because of her position with WEA as well. And so she's had to balance two fairly busy agendas. But even with that, I feel like Alex has done a good job of working alongside of us and keeping the calendars up, keeping us advised of things. And I think that's, honestly, I think that's sufficient. I can completely understand your feeling like you're overwhelmed. Again, Pam and I had the benefit of a long runway into being sworn into office by being elected in May. So we had 6-7 months there of transition. And even at that, I know that I'm pretty sure Pam would agree that she spent more time with me in meetings than she ever envisioned. And so, but I want to encourage you that that I think a part-time assistant will certainly meet your needs, and it's always subject to further discussion down the road. But I'd encourage you to give it some time and see how that works. And certainly, please reach out to any one of the other commissioners if you're struggling with things, if you need some other background information or whatever it is. We're more than willing to share our time with you and certainly help you wherever you need help. And so I guess I would encourage you to give the part-time assistant a little bit of a chance, and then we can always reevaluate.
I would also, if I could interrupt here just for a quick minute, I think one of the things I've learned as well, and I think Alex would support this, is that as we work with our assistants, they become subject matter experts in particular areas as well. So we share that expertise across, you know, across all commissioners. So it is, it's a little bit of a balance between direct support for the individual and support for the entire board, frankly, in relationship to a particular area. And, you know, the biggest example right now is COVID. Now, certainly this, you know, this environment is unique, but at the same time, I do believe as we approach different issues, we'll find that there'll be certain individuals on staff who have more knowledge and expertise in an area to support the entire board. So I guess I promote flexibility.
Well, I think too, one thing that Commissioner Willie and Commissioner Treese experienced, just as you are today, Commissioner Fye, they did not have a policy assistant on board until the summertime. So they, like you, they went through a period of time where they were trying to balance an incredible array of needs. And it was challenging, but they managed to get through it, and they did so very well from my vantage point. And I think the sooner that you are able to find a policy assistant, the better off you'll be, because hopefully you will have a shorter period of transition time as compared to the two of them. But certainly this is not the total done deal on the conversation, but as mentioned, there is a need for further budget conversations going forward. And also Ms. Angie is having a review of the CAO office and the logistical support for the board evaluated as well.
So that means then this new assistant person would be for Roy Rogers and myself.
So Commissioner Rogers had previously chosen to continue to have his needs settled outside of county support. So clearly there is the need for his calendar availability for other meetings. So our staff handles checking in with him on his schedule availability. So during any transition time, we have more than enough calendar coordination needs that need to be taken care of across the full board. So the bandwidth of the policy assistant that you'll have will naturally be assigned to other tasks within the board and the office purview. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah, I will clarify to put it on the job description then for those two districts. And I think it's just really, it is a short term. So I don't think we need to dwell on it. We can just wait for the budget change process and just incorporate. But yeah, it's fine.
Ms. Angie, did you have something? Because we're going to need to close on this to get to exec session.
Chair, I just want to, one point of clarification. Within the job descriptions do not explicitly indicate what districts they're designated to. That is, in essence, and I will call it an informal work process that we have determined. It could be at such point in time that the board decides that we do want to rotate the policy assistants, not only to benefit the board, but to benefit their own growth and development.
Commissioner Fry, are you following that? Okay. All right. Well, for the sake of the agenda, we need to move on. So next, do we have a motion to proceed to executive session pursuant to ORS 192.660 sub 2 sub E?
So moved.
Is there a second? Second, yep. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Mr. Board Clerk, if we could make sure that we have the attendees drop off and those people who need to be included in this executive session, Courtney Duke Dreisen.
Madam Chair, if I may, I created a special Zoom link specifically for that exec session that has those invites sent out.
Is that in our calendar or?
Yes, it is in your calendars.
Okay, great.
Okay, I will see you over there in 1 second.